Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter. @BackseatZach or @BackseatJay.
Ah, you are back in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati alongside James Troiano. Adam Tully will be here soon enough. He's a busy man. A little too GQ to be here on time. You know, he's an important figure in the Atlanta Buckhead scene.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
He goes to a lot of dinner parties.
Yeah, he does. And look, he has dates with women of all ages.
Look, if okay. You're having a dinner party, Adam Tully will entertain you to no end. As long as you make sure that you have salad with light ranch, he will come.
Salad with light ranch, a requisite at your dinner
That's
party.
That's right. If you don't have that, don't expect him to show up.
No,
okay?
No,
so make
no.
sure you put that in the RSVP
letter. Don't be rude. Have your light ranch available. We have Nubias Wilborn coming back on the show tonight. He's going to be with us in just a moment to talk NBA Finals. We're going to talk Euro 2012 with Tully. He likes his light ranch. He likes his soccer. And he likes his trophies big and shiny. All right. So he has a lot in common with all of you, but not really. So, and I just want to give you one little opportunity, James, to slide in a little opinion about Cliff Lee and the Philadelphia Phillies before we move on to more pressing matters.
I don't want to talk about it.
Why did you have it.
No.
I just wanted to give you a chance, if you wanted to,
what?
To talk about baseball, since we're going to cover a lot of soccer and basketball tonight.
We're in the middle of baseball season, and
it's just that lull where...
It's, you know what it is? It's you and Adam Tully just cannot stop talking about soccer and hockey.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, did the Blue Jays or Phillies win that series this past weekend? I meant to ask you about that.
I don't look.
Did the Blue Jays win that series? It's too bad Tully's not here to talk about it with you. But anyway, we have got Nubias, coming on with us to talk about NBA Finals. LeBron and the Heat have taken a 2-1 lead as we record Monday night, just before Game 4. Okay, Nubias Wilborn from 1100 The Game in Macon is with us again to speak NBA Finals. Nubias, you told us right when the playoffs were starting that the Heat were probably going to go ahead and take care of business, and they were finally going to win their championship, and right now they're 2 games away. How have you felt about what you've seen from them in the past, let's say, 5 games, including those last two against Boston?
Well, let's start with the last two against Boston. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody said they were dead. Everybody's like, it's over. Mm-hmm. Break them up. Fire Spoelstra. Trade Wade.
Guilty.
Maybe even trade LeBron. Get rid of Bosch. They're soft. They're weak. They're candy asses. And what do? They come out and dominate Game 6 in Boston. Smoke those guys by, 23, 24?
Yeah.
Then they come back in Game 7 and basically pretty much dominate that game and win it pretty handily to take that series. Then the talk goes to, well, it's Boston, you know, they're old.
Right.
They don't really have much of a chance. You know, they should have beaten them anyway. It's kind of funny how the narrative always changes when the Miami Heat win.
Right.
First coming into this series, it was, okay, it's OKC's time. We're watching the maturation of a great team. OKC's going to go on a 3-4 championship run. Now that Miami's up by two, all of a sudden it's, well, you know, OKC's young, and we don't really know about Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant's too skinny. I heard...
Kevin Durant's skinny.
Yeah, so it's like I heard a certain announcer, a certain broadcaster who used to be a decent writer say, well, he's too skinny. Okay, what is that? You know, what does that mean? But just 2 days ago when they won game one, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
You know, he's the best player in the NBA. And bottom line, even if the Heat come out and sweep these next 2 games, so I don't think they will. I think the Heat will win game five. I think they'll probably lose one game and go back to OKC. I think they'll finish the series. Even if the Heat win this series, they'll still find ways to knock LeBron. But bottom line, what you have to be able to do, guys, is recognize that LeBron James is the best player in the NBA right now and has been for the past couple of years. That's why he's a three-time MVP
right
at the age of 27, and he's only going to get better. So right. It's time to give LeBron James his credit. And even if they don't win this series, he was still clutch.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
He didn't hit a game-winning shot, but he hit game-winning free throws. But then people were saying, well, those are just free throws. Anybody can hit their free throws.
Mm.
You're supposed to hit free throws.
Yeah.
I believe
no matter what it is, LeBron will never get the credit he deserves, which is a shame.
Hey, Nubias, James here.
So, what up, James?
Hey, man. So you kind of touched on a little bit how we've heard about how good the Thunder are, how bad the Thunder are, how good the Heat are, how bad they can be. So where do you think these teams actually lie? Like how good are the Heat actually? Kind of cut through the BS for us. How good are the Heat and how good are the Thunder?
Where's the equilibrium?
Right.
Yeah.
I will be honest with you. I believe that this has a chance to be. Hey, how old are you guys?
Well, we're 27.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 30. So, you know, when the Lakers and Celtics were going, we knew about it, but we were kids.
Right.
This has a chance to be our Lakers and Celtics. No hyperbole. This really has a chance to be that for the next few years because Kevin Durant is as good as it gets in the NBA.
Right.
Russell Westbrook is a top 15 NBA player. Yeah, he may play selfish sometimes and make some mistakes. The question going past this particular series is, can OKC re-sign James Harden? Because they put a lot of money into Durant and Westbrook already.
Right.
So that's going to be a question is if they can remain for a long time. But assuming both these teams stay the same, these teams are as good as any championship teams we've seen in the last 15, 20 years. They just are. They're good teams. Very good teams, if not great.
Do you see Dwayne Wade falling off in the next couple years? Like, do the Heat have a window of until Dwayne Wade is too old to give you these 25, 30-point games? Or do you think that they could replace a Dwayne Wade with a more mediocre player like an O.J. Mayo or somebody like that in a couple years to kind of fill that void? And this is now just LeBron's team. And because LeBron's so good, this team is just going to be this good for a long time.
Well, honestly, it could go either way. It really could. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about sports, gentlemen. That's why we do this. That's why we talk about sports. That's why we go to games. It's because it could go either way. Personally, I think the Heat are going to try to hold on to Dwayne Wade as long as possible. I don't think he's healthy right now. I think he needs that knee drained again. Maybe he doesn't play in London. We'll see to really get himself back right and then be ready to go for next year. I would hope. I would like to see Dwayne Wade say that, but either way, I do think this is LeBron James' team. I don't know if they bring in an O.J. Mayo. Maybe they keep this team together and bring in a guy like a Jamal Crawford.
Okay.
Try to bring a Jamal Crawford in the mix as a guy who can score coming off the bench. So maybe that's an option they take. Maybe they just build around this big three because, honestly, I still think Dwayne Wade can get you 25 points a night, 20 points a night, for another 3-4 years, and that's a long window if you really look at it.
Yeah.
Especially in today's NBA with this CBA. And don't forget, they're on the hook for Dwayne Wade for a lot of money, man.
That's right. True. And now, tell me if you agree with me. I'm of the opinion that LeBron James is only on the hook as long as Dwayne Wade is a dominant contributing member of that team. I feel like people would view LeBron James differently if he was once again kind of the focal point, only dominant player on that team. Now, we know Bosch is also, he can be a dominant player. Even when LeBron was in Cleveland, he wanted Chris Bosch. That was the word, and they were going to be the two dominant guys. But do you think that people's perception of LeBron is only this because they feel like he tried to take the easy way out? And maybe if Dwayne Wade started to tail off and they still could keep up a consistently high winning percentage, appearing in finals, maybe winning some championships, that people's perception of LeBron would change from the guy who tried to do it the easy way to the guy who just did it and kept doing it?
No, I don't think it will. One thing about it, people, once they make up their mind about something, they look for everything they can to justify what they made their mind up on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's the way it should be. But that's just the way our society works. Once people make their mind up and they have formulated opinion, it's very hard, if not impossible, to get them to change it. As long as there are guys like Skip Bayless who will go out and say, well, yeah, they won the game, but so what? But yet he picked Miami, but then he went back and said, well, OKC can still win it and still believes that they can win it even if Miami goes up 3-1, which is crazy. They can't win if Miami goes up 3-1. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah, so, no,
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. But like I said, that's just how it rolls, man. There are people out here who believe what they believe, and they want to hate LeBron the same way people want to hate Kobe Bryant, the same way people want to praise Michael Jordan and over-romanticize Michael Jordan. So as long as that exists, no, the perception won't change because they'll always find another way to downgrade the guy, which is sad because if he wins one this year, then he'll be like, well, you know, Jordan won six. You know, Jordan won in his whatever year, and it took LeBron this many years. And, well, Jordan never lost in the finals. LeBron lost in two finals.
And, Nubias, right. You know what we're going to have to tell those people? If Oklahoma City wins this year, we're going to have to say, well, you know, Derek Fisher's got more titles than Kobe Bryant now. So, you know, I mean, Derek Fisher must be a better player than Kobe Bryant.
and that's the thing. But then of course, the argument will be shouted down. So that's the thing. People can turn statistics and numbers any way they want to. But my thing is, the one thing I do agree about what those two clowns on First Take say is trust your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Trust your eyes. Trust what you see. And anybody with half a brain, anybody with any type of brain cells can see that LeBron James is one of the best players in NBA history.
Yeah,
he is an unfathomable athletic talent. He can do things with the basketball. He can guard all five positions on the court.
Yeah.
And he can be defended and get past point guards, shooting guards. It doesn't matter whoever you put on him. If the guy tries to post him up, he can beat him down in the post. If a guy tries to face him up, he can go by him with a shot. So no matter what it is, LeBron James can beat defense. Yeah. He is what it is when it comes to scoring. The only reason he doesn't score more is because he tries to be a distributor. If he wanted to, LeBron James could be a 32-point a night type guy.
Well, he's good at distributing, so it's probably a good thing for the Heat that he does that.
Nubias, last night in the fourth quarter, the Heat were up by, I believe, six, and Dwayne Wade was walking the ball up the floor and made just a really irresponsible turnover to Tabo Cephalosha. Cephalosha was guarding him tight as soon as he started walking up the floor. Now, Cephalosha takes it, gets an easy layup. Then Wade comes right back down the floor and takes, you know, kind of a selfish shot. Didn't really go into any kind of half-court offense and no game plan. Just went right back down and took a shot that he missed. Oklahoma City converts another basket on the next possession. That really frustrated me, seeing Wade make those two plays. And to be honest, Nubias, I'm starting to wonder how much Wade really loves playing with LeBron and Bosch. Now, I know he won a title with Shaq in, I believe that was 06, but I'm starting to wonder how much Wade really loves sharing the limelight. Now, as far-fetched as it might be right now at this moment, if Oklahoma City was to win these finals, if there was enough anti-Wade feelings in the administration of in Miami, how likely do you think it is that Wade could get traded and Steve Nash could be signed?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty specific.
That because Steve Nash is so old, man. I mean, it's funny because he had a great year this year, and he's 39. He says, which I mean, I think he's older than that. He's just old, so I don't know if that works. I mean, I think it depends on what you see your window as. If you see it as, okay, you have a two-year window, then you may do that. I don't think they trade Wade. I don't necessarily know if he's fully I think Wade is more upset because for the first time in his career, he's actually facing some criticism.
Yeah.
He's never faced criticism before, and he's facing it. So I want to see how he recovers from the criticism he's facing so far.
Sure. Well, I mean, before he had Bosch and LeBron playing with him, you know, the media in Miami isn't going to criticize him because he's the guy. But now when you have to share the limelight with three other big stars, if you're the one that doesn't have a great night, then, yeah, you're way more susceptible to that criticism. So, you know, that could be part of it. But
I mean, but let's remember the last time when he was the guy, you know what they lost to in the playoffs? The Atlanta Hawks. I mean, really think about it. They lost to the Hawks in the playoffs, and this was the game where afterwards Dwayne Wade didn't shake anybody's hand. He went straight to the locker room, so on and so forth. And then that was a year afterwards they brought in LeBron and Bosh. You know what I'm saying? They lost to the Hawks in the playoffs, man. I mean, really?
Who does that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, literally, who does that?
You have to be bad to do that. Novice, change of gears. Sticking with the Hawks for a second, because we're in Atlanta, obviously. I've heard that I've seen and read both interviews with Josh Smith, Joe Johnson, Marvin Williams, and these guys, all of these guys are saying, we're not getting traded. We're staying here. What's going on? I think somebody needs to leave Atlanta. I think that they need to have some turnover.
Yeah, like a last man standing cage match. You
it's,
know,
it's like they're,
like,
yeah.
Like a loser league sound match or something, you know.
Yeah, maybe one-on-one ball to see who gets traded, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, and then the loser has to leave town, so they trade the guy.
I mean, for it. I'd buy a ticket.
I mean, I would too, but let's just be real. I mean, Atlanta is, for as much as some of the national pundits like Wilbon and what's my man up in Detroit, that's the first take as well. You know who I'm talking about. He wears the weird suits.
Bruce Bowen
wears the bow tie.
No, he's a writer. He wrote for the New York paper, wrote for the Detroit paper.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Rod Parker?
Rod Parker, yeah. Rod Parker. As much as Rod Parker wants to write stuff about Atlanta, Atlanta's a great town. Guys don't want to leave Atlanta, and guys are getting paid here. You know, you're going to make it to at least this first, second round of the playoffs. I mean, that's not a bad NBA life. It's not a championship life, but it's not a bad NBA life. Because, I mean, you are going and making playoff runs, and you're doing things that are fun. A lot of those guys don't want to leave because you don't know if another team is going to re-sign you, how they're going to treat you, where they're going to put you. If you're Marvin Williams, hell no, you want to leave. Who else wants Marvin Williams? Joe Johnson, nobody wants your contract, so no, you're not going to leave. Josh Smith is a guy who put out feelers, supposedly, that he wanted to leave. Now he's saying he doesn't. And he's kind of got a little bit of the Dwight Howard syndrome, where he goes back and forth and vacillates and doesn't know what he wants to do. So right. I don't trust anything any of these guys say.
Nobias, let's combine the last two ideas here. We talked about how old Steve Nash is, then we talked about the Hawks. How do you feel about that? Let me drop an idea on you. Let's say the Hawks sign Ray Allen, because I told James a few weeks ago, this would be the most Atlanta Hawks acquisition ever. It's so predictable. They'd sign Ray Allen. They'd pretend like it was the biggest acquisition in the city's history. They'd put up billboards, and what's he, 39, 38?
Right.
Yeah.
With bad ankles. Yeah.
I mean, can you see that happening? Do you think it's possible that they could sign, that they could be in the Ray Allen sweepstakes?
This guy is obsessed with that fact.
It depends on how much money Ray Allen goes for. Because you got to remember, they have a lot of money contractually obligated to Al Horford, Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, and Marvin Williams. That's where the majority of their money goes. So that's why you see guys like Willie Green and T-Mac and Ivan Johnson, who was a guy who was a player who just happened to end up becoming a player. You're looking at all these people who they signed. I mean, you know, they don't want to sign these guys, but they have to get what they can get. You know, if you only got $1 million, there's only so many players you can pay $1 million. I mean, it's kind of like fantasy. It's almost like fantasy where it's like, okay, hey, you have that one guy left, and you have like however many points on your fantasy roster, so you got to figure out if you can get this certain player at this certain price, and you know what price the guy's come at, and you look up and you get a guy who can actually play.
Right, and I got another one for you. Is Jeff Teague the question or the answer at point guard?
Because the question or the answer?
Is
Jeff Teague the question or the answer?
No, I know what you guys said. I'm saying like he's both.
He's both. So you think? Like, all right. Do you think that it is of utmost importance for the Hawks to lock down that position, or do you think that it is something where Jeff Teague is serviceable enough for them to build the team around him without worrying that position might not be taken care of in the future?
I think you could build around Jeff Teague. I just don't know if he thinks you can build around him. And I think until you figure that out, that's the problem. I like Teague. I think he's a good kid. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great. He's quick enough to keep up with some of these faster point guards from a defensive angle. So, I mean, he can keep you in games. And, you know, One thing I don't like, he sucks at the free throw line. He's a terrible free throw shooter.
Yeah, for a point guard.
Honesty from the awful.
And it almost makes you wonder, like, can I keep this guy in the game because you can't hit free throws?
Yeah.
Right.
So you can't put the ball in his hand in late situations because he's going to hit some free throws. He makes good decisions sometimes. Sometimes he makes bad decisions. I mean, you know, and it's hard because he's been in the league, what, 3-4 years now? So
right.
It's kind of like you get to that point where a guy is what they are, but I still don't know who he is.
I think that that's what Hawks fans are wondering. Is this growing pains with Jeff Teague, or is this actually Jeff Teague, the player, who could potentially be on the Hawks roster for a long time watching this quality of play? I think that Hawks fans are hoping that this is the Jeff Teague growing pains and he's going to develop into a solid player, good decision maker, high percentage 3-point shooter. But I think that they're concerned, and I'm concerned as a fan.
Well, you should be.
The statistics
don't bear out that guys get that much better after year 3 or 4. It just doesn't bear out. Not that it never happens. It just doesn't happen often. It's a statistical anomaly that happens.
You just don't hear someone say, hey, that guy really warmed up after his 5th year. You know, that's just not something you hear.
Yeah, exactly.
But before we let you go, Tobias, it sounded like you almost predicted earlier that the Heat are going to go ahead and win this series in 6. Are you gonna sit by that 6?
Yeah, I'm fine with 6. That's what I said coming in, and I'm going to stick with 6.
Two wins against Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City would be very impressive during this postseason. Nobias, we really appreciate it. Thanks again, man. That's Nobias Wilborn from 1100 The Game. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, Nobias.
Man, thanks, fellas. Have me anytime, man.
All right, thanks. We'll see you again soon. Yeah, he was in a funny mood tonight. He was cracking us up.
Anytime anybody talks about the Hawks, you actually have to laugh about it. You can't actually have a serious conversation. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, that is that's about all you can say there. We threw in a little too much Hawk talk there in the middle of the finals, but I mean, what can you say? Both of these teams.
Look, we're in Atlanta. You got to have Hawk talk. I had some burning questions that I had to ask him.
Yeah, Tully's been sitting here. He came into the studio a few minutes ago, and he didn't want to jump in on the Hawk talk. But we are going to talk Euro 2012 coming up, and Tully will be a full participant in that segment. So Euro 2012 coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at @BackseatZach or @BackseatJ.
That is on Twitter at @BackseatZach and James Troiano. James, Troiano.
Someday I will change that.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
It's not right now.
Listen, we're coming in with the Dropkick Murphys because that's about as Irish as I could get us here on the bumper music, and we just want to say a friendly and polite farewell to Ireland.
Yeah.
From the Euro 2012 tournament. They were the worst team at the tournament, unless Sweden loses tomorrow like 6-0 or something.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but even if they did, Ireland still looked worse.
Yeah.
They scored 1 goal.
Yeah, they weren't good. Tully, England is going to participate in rounding out group stage tomorrow against Ukraine. How are you feeling confidence level about that?
I'm still feeling pretty good, like I said last week. I wish we had time to bring up that clip from when he asked me, are you afraid of Sweden? Are you afraid?
I think he was asking you in a teasing way. I don't think he ever thought you were really afraid of Sweden.
No, look at the little this quagmire look on his face. Look at him. Look.
I thought you should have legitimately been afraid of Sweden.
In all seriousness, it's always a good game we play Sweden. It literally is a head-to-head matchup because they're identical as far as like the style of play.
What are your realistic expectations for England now?
If we make it to semis, that would be exceptional.
So what you're saying is, if they progress to the knockout stage tomorrow, a win against Spain or Italy, no matter whoever it might be that you guys play, you're happy.
I mean, you can't really ask for any more than that, considering the lineup.
You sure can. You sure can.
Well, I mean, considering all the stuff leading up to it.
I mean, if England beat Spain,
that in itself would be...
Anybody's going to be excited about beating Spain.
That'd be a signature victory.
Like America.
I think Germany is the only team right now that could say that they would need to, like, beat Spain and not, and kind of expect to do it. Not expect, but
that's a game of equals.
Yeah, I think Germany's the only team that could realistically say, look, we can beat this team and we need to act like we can. They're the only ones.
Germany has always been, we come here expecting to win, and if we don't win, it's a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, James, we were talking earlier, we haven't seen a lot of upsets. We haven't seen a lot of huge surprises. That may start in the knockout stage, but there's only so many games in this size right. of tournament. But, you know, we haven't seen a lot of upsets, but honestly, it's been an exciting tournament. There's been a lot of scoring, no 0-0 draws.
Mm-mm.
You know, that hasn't happened, which is great, especially for the mild soccer fan. Mm-hmm. Something that I've been thinking about the past few days and some of these matches that I've seen, I think, you know, we were talking about the other day, Tully, and I can't remember. I think it may have been a Greek player when Russia was trying to make their last-ditch effort.
Yeah, it was like 88th minute.
And Russia, wow, what a difference a week makes. Last week on the podcast, we were talking about how they're the most impressive team in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
And now 2 games later, they didn't make it the group stage. So that's one of the
I had them going to semis.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about these tournaments is things can change so quickly. But you know, you see, we saw a Greek player who was simulating an injury. I think it's fair to say that he was simulating. And I've realized
truth. Yeah, I mean, it's not fair. I mean, he was.
I like your choice of language, though. Simulating.
That's what they call it.
Who calls it that?
That's what they say.
Everybody.
They call it simulating an injury.
Simulation. That's what they say. Simulation. Yeah. I don't know why. Why is that a new one on him?
I don't know. I don't prefer that term.
It's not preferable.
It's not preferable.
Well, look, and tell you heard me say, look, and this sounds a little too simplistic, but mm-hmm. I think that FIFA needs to institute a rule. If you leave the game on a stretcher, you're not coming back.
Yeah.
That's it.
What?
That's it. You're not coming back.
No, you can't do that.
Or 10 minutes.
No, you can't. Here's why. Because nobody will leave on a stretcher. They'll just sit on the ground for
Well, okay. Well, here's the thing.
Minutes.
Yeah, to combat that, here's what I had.
There you go.
I've already thought about that.
They
actually have, you know, they've been struggling for decades, I guess, to get the goal line thing in place. That's not happened yet. But to have like actually an instant replay, because the referee isn't, he talks to the linesman, you know, with the microphone.
Right.
Have a guy up in the booth. I mean, it takes 2 seconds to be like, nah, that guy's not hurt. Keep playing. Play on.
Yeah, but what if he actually
keep playing.
Wait, but what
he
if
can
he
stay there all day long.
James, of course we have to have that part of the conversation.
I hate the diving.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I know you do.
It's awful. I hate the diving. All right.
It's not just the diving. It's the laying on the ground and pretending like you're hurt. And then you hear the announcer say like, oh, and he's had a miraculous recovery. He's back in for this corner kick.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I would do something like this. This is how I would change the diving issue. Is I would have them give them like a five. What do? You give them a 2 minute rule, and if after 2 minutes they're still down, they need to come off the field. And if they come off the field, they're out for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I was gonna say like 10 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. That's part of it also. I think. But what you said about 2 minutes, yes. I think if you let's say for example, if you left the field on a stretcher, like my rule, I said you couldn't come back in. Like you said, nobody would leave on a stretcher. They just lay there forever. Well, I think there needs to be some kind of window where you have to decide, make a decision. Mm-hmm. There needs to be like a 90-second or 2 minute window where, and that's a long time for a soccer game to be stopped. 2 minutes, you know, and it happens sometimes, but it is a long time. In that 2 minutes, you and your staff that runs on the field need to make a decision. You're either leaving on the stretcher, not coming back, or you're going off on the sideline. And if you do go off on the sideline like that after you've used your 2 minutes, you're not coming back in for a certain amount of time.
You know what, though? What about just giving them a yellow card after 2 minutes?
I was going to say, and or
because what
after
are you
going to
do?
Game,
have 12 guys with a yellow card?
Yeah,
11 guys, 11 after, or 12 guys.
Yeah,
whatever.
After the game, they could hand a player out a yellow card after the game.
I think that's a great idea, and that brings me to my next rule change I want to see, and I think we can all agree on this. I don't know if you saw, and now I'm drawing a blank again on what game it was. I think it's another Greek player who got called for diving, trying to draw a penalty.
Same game.
And it was not a dive. And he got clipped. He got clipped by a Russian player, but the referee had the wrong angle. He was behind them, and he got a yellow card. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not playing in the quarterfinals.
No.
I think there needs to be a review system on yellow card suspensions, because it's already very strict. You get 2 yellow cards, and you're suspended a match. That's super strict. Mm-hmm. I think there needs to be a review system, and FIFA needs to commit to turning around these reviews in 48 hours.
Not only that, the Greek player?
I think Adam had the best. I think replay on these tackles.
Well, instead of having to make the decision within the game and putting that burden on the referee's shoulders, if like let's say Karagounis, I think, is the one who's going to miss the match.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he is suspended for the quarterfinal match. In this period of time between games, FIFA could review the call, and they've got plenty of video evidence, and they could say, you know what? He got clipped. That wasn't a dive.
Right.
And they just take away his yellow card.
They don't do that right now?
No.
Really?
They don't review. There's no review or appeal. So what Karagounis could do was he could appeal the decision.
I think they do that.
And FIFA needs to say 48 hours. It's going to be turned around in 48 hours, and you take his yellow card away, and he plays.
Yep, but two things on that.
What about this, though? During a game, all right, back to this during a game thing.
Right.
Why don't they just do a mixture of what we're all saying here, and if a guy goes down and he's on the ground, the guy up in the booth is immediately
saying.
He looks at the replay, he goes down to the ref, and it's no nonsense. He tells the ref, yeah, he got nabbed. If he gets nabbed, give him his time. If he doesn't get nabbed, it's some kind of dive, he gets nabbed a little bit, the ref walks over to the guy and says, you have 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You have 90 seconds.
90
or 2 minutes.
Yeah. 1 minute. You have 60 seconds.
If your coach has not decided to sub you out in 90 seconds, or you're not off the field, you're out of the game.
Or a yellow card.
Yeah.
Well, and plus, going back to what you were talking about, Zach, the whole carding, I guess, convention, whatever you want to call it, it's stupid how they stack up. He's going to miss the quarterfinals because he got two yellow cards in two separate games.
And they weren't even back-to-back games.
That's really stupid.
He got them in, there was a game in between his yellow cards.
Yeah, and still continuing with the Greeks, very first game, that guy who got the red card, both of his yellow cards were not even fouls. Like, there shouldn't even been a whistle.
Right, let alone a yellow card. I forgot about that one, too.
Like, again, that's where the replay comes. They can, after the game, go, okay, we're sorry about that.
Those
are bad calls.
This is a bigger problem, though.
It's always been an issue.
The roughing is bad, and it looks way worse now because there's instant replay. It's just like with every sport. As replay gets better, people are going to be getting on the refs more. But I think soccer is just like, people have a problem with baseball in America because it's so backwards compared to the other sports in terms of getting up to date and current on replay technology and advancing the rules and kind of getting modernized. Soccer is the worst sport in the world, and that's why it's having trouble adapting in places like here, where we like fast-paced stuff. Like, when you sit and you watch these clowns roll around on the floor grabbing their ankle for 5 minutes, you think to yourself, I watched the NFL football.
Yeah.
And even
for people who watch hockey and... Even in basketball and baseball, a catcher gets knocked over, he gets up. If a center or a point guard takes a hard foul in the lane, he gets up. He makes a point to get up as soon as possible.
Well, I texted you and I texted our friend Mike probably twice each now at this point of the tournament. Since the 2010 World Cup, they've had this slow motion HD replay.
And it looks amazing.
And you can see everything. Yeah, you can see it. It's just like, oh my God, this is so bad.
I know that you are more well-versed in the soccer history and tradition, but how about stopping the clock when guys go down?
We wouldn't even have to have this conversation about yellow cards and time limits if you stopped the clock.
Just stop
Because if you stopped when someone was injured, look, I know they can do it because they stopped it for that rain delay. It happened. They stopped the clock and went to the locker room for that rain delay.
As far as advertising and TV slots go,
they
added on to the end anyway. Just stop it. Nobody would dive. Who would dive? The clock's going to stop, idiot.
Nobody could simulate it. No one would do the end, like, 89th minute, you're up a goal. No one would pretend they're hurt if the clock would stop on an injury. Look, I'm not saying you have to stop it for corners, substitutions, a throw-in. Just on an injury, you stop the clock?
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because,
no more time wasting.
Because you already have yellow cards for delay of game while the ball's in play. It's a delay of game when you're laying on the ground acting like somebody just shot you in the foot.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we play FIFA on PS3, the clock stops.
It does stop.
There's only 600 games.
For an injury.
Yeah, because it takes up like 15 minutes in game time.
Yeah, in real time. Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I really want to see, but this is not, is video review for like goal line plays.
It's going to happen. Once again, why is it taking them so long to do this? It's annoying to me.
It's almost like you're talking about with baseball. It's like the old boys
it's
kind of thing.
It's annoying to me.
I think the only...
I'm a soccer fan, and it's annoying to me. When my team scores and they didn't actually score because you're human and you didn't see it, I understand that.
England 2010.
We can do something about it. We could have done something about it in 2010.
You know what they need to do is the MLS needs to start using these practices, and they need to start going to the FIFA office and be like, look how awesome this
is. Yeah, exactly.
And the FIFA should just say, you know what? If the MLS wants to experiment and be our guinea pig, fine. It's just the MLS.
Yeah.
And then they can see how it works out there.
First of all, it's not... The MLS is a good league.
No, you need to stop.
Right, so
stop. You need to stop.
Right. It's a legitimate professional sports league.
But in Sepp
it's
Blatter's,
better than the Norwegian league. Try it out there.
How do you think Sepp Blatter looks at it?
I don't care, okay?
Okay.
Get it right.
All right.
We like to get our sports right. All right, last rule.
He's all getting right. all amped up
if you
over
wanna,
here.
If you want to make things really competitive, I think that it needs to be a tournament for bailout money.
Okay.
Well, they already had that.
They'll play really hard, won't they?
No, it's the group of debt, but seriously. Like,
they already had a group of debt.
You give them like millions of dollars based on their place.
Where is this, the Hunger Games?
No, it's like tennis and golf.
It could be like the Hunger Games. Yeah,
tennis and golf, you win your money.
Yeah, there you go.
You never see a tennis player not playing hard. He's playing for money.
Well, yeah, see, like, tennis and golf. Tennis and golf, they have that down, right.
I mean, maybe they already are. That's why Greece is playing so hard.
All right, you know what? Give us.
They don't want to go home.
They have no jobs, so when they go.
Give us a shout at the inbox, backseatsports@gmail.com, or tweet us again at backseatzach and at James Troiano. Let us know how you feel about these potential rule changes that really need to happen. We got Hottie and Adi coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach and James Troiano at James Troiano. This is Hottie and Hottie, who had a good week and who had a bad week. And James, our first Hottie, we're really obligated to just give this to him. Matt Cain of the San Francisco Giants threw a perfect game this past week, and I got to watch the end of it. It's always, you become a fan instantly.
Yeah, you want the guy to do it. It's weird how that works in baseball.
Right.
Unless it's against your team, I guess.
Even then, I remember watching Randy Johnson throw his perfect game against the Braves. The crowd at Turner Field was standing up and clapping.
Well, that's Atlanta fan story, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I tweeted this earlier in the week. The crowd was going nuts. I mean, they got a great crowd in San Francisco, and they were going nuts for him. The last 9 outs that he had to get, they were freaking out.
Well, that's a big deal.
And I said, I don't know how he goes up there with a straight face. He just sits up there, like, I'd be smiling like an idiot. Every time I got a guy out, I'd be out there going, yeah, get close.
Yeah, but don't you think that you would be so intently focused on what you're doing because you're so scared of blowing it?
No.
Like, how bad would it suck? Like, what does that do to your psyche? Like, to be like, these guys that blow these perfect games are no-hitters with, like, 2 outs left.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Yeah.
But I'd be smiling like a fool out there if all those people,
Yeah, I mean, no, you're right.
They cheer you like you won the World Series when you get like a fly out in the 8th or 9th inning.
Yeah.
So
It's cool thing.
One of our naughties is Ireland. Well, look, they were my surprise pick for Euro 2012 and it didn't work out like that because they finished today 0-3, a negative 8 goal differential. They were bad. They were very bad. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, well... I don't have anything to... I have no comment on this because I'll spare Mike the comments.
They were just bad. They
just didn't live up to it. I mean, I didn't have them getting out of the group, but I didn't think it would be as bad
-8,
as this. I thought that they would be a competitive team to watch.
But maybe they draw a game or two.
But I think that we're just like living in the past of like the 2002 Ireland team that we watched.
It was
like
a Cinderella
story.
It
was a Cinderella story and it was nice. Everyone liked it.
One of our hotties is David Stern because as we, most of you heard earlier, he was on with Jim Rome and Rome straight up just asked him, as you said, James, it wasn't even a tactful way to ask. He said, was the fix in for the draft lottery? Was the fix in? And Stern said, no, shame on you for asking. And he said, are you still beating your wife?
Yeah. No.
Now, he fired back at Jim pretty hard there.
Yeah, and honestly, I think Jim Rome, I don't know if anybody's defending Jim Rome today, but I think that was an uncalled for question. If you're going to ask that, ask it like this. Say something like, are you concerned about the public perception that the draft lottery is fixed in the NBA? Don't ask him directly if the draft is fixed. What is he going to say to you?
Yes, actually, we fixed it.
That wasn't tactful or smart, in my opinion.
Our next naughty is David Nabandian. He is an Argentine tennis player, and in the final match of the first grass court event of the year in England, it's called the Queen's Final, I think, he was playing Marin Cilic, and Cilic was making kind of a run here, and Nalbandian got so angry that he went over to near a line judge kicked the hell out of an advertisement board. The whole thing collapsed and broke apart and sliced up the line judge's leg. He starts bleeding, and the chair umpire says, dude, you're disqualified. The match was tied like a set apiece. That's a terrible way to lose. That's an even worse way to win. If you're Marin Cilic, you lift that trophy, you're like,
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was the queen there? You said it was the queen's final. That's rude behavior to do that in front of the queen.
It's very rude to do that in front of the queen. Someone who wouldn't mind you doing anything rude in front of her is Kate Upton, and she's our next hottie. She's on the cover of GQ magazine now wearing a Stars and Stripes bikini top. And
we'll put that one on YouTube.
Consuming
for you.
A popsicle. And yeah, we'll put it on YouTube. Another one of our hotties is Webb Simpson. He won the U.S. Open, and I'm under the understanding that we have, what is it, 8 straight majors now that a first-time winner has won?
Yeah.
Is that good for golf or bad for golf?
9 straight. It's good for golf. I don't know. I like when Tiger wins. But can I just say this about Webb Simpson?
Yeah, go ahead.
That sounds like a legislative bill, like the the Webb Simpson bill.
Yeah.
Or it does. That's not a guy's name. He can't be serious with that.
Webb and Simpson, attorneys at law.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah,
bro,
he is English, Scottish, Irish. I know he's one of those.
Look,
something like that.
Just change your name to Mike or Jeff. Jeff Simpson.
Webb? Homer Simpson.
Or Homer Simpson.
Or Homer.
This Webb Simpson stuff, every time I hear it, I think that yeah.
Yeah,
something's getting passed into law.
That was Hottie Anati. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. James Troiano, and thanks to Nubias Wilborn for coming on by, and thanks to Adam Tully for sliding in here and talking Euro with us. We will see you next week.